recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hello, curtain jerkers. Welcome to Jerking the Curtain. I am Jeremy Staples, and with me, as always, is Brett Beeler. Say hi, Brett.
What's up?
So we have a little special show for you guys tonight. We're going to have a guest. Our first ever guest host is going to be joining us later on to talk about SummerSlam because he was in the building. That fucking asshole. I wish I could have gone on the show. It was great, but we'll talk about that later on. So in the meantime, until he calls in, let's talk about a little Darren Young. Darren Young's a big gay faggot. Did you know that?
I am not surprised.
So the troll doll hair back in the day wasn't a giveaway to everybody? I mean, come on.
Yeah, pretty much. And, I mean, just kind of look at his gimmick now. Like, look at his last few months of work. Are you really that surprised?
Yeah. He was approached by TMZ reporters as he arrived in L.A. for SummerSlam this last weekend. And the reporter just asked him, you know, point blank about homosexuality in the WWE locker room. And he was very forthcoming and came out to this TMZ reporter in an airport. And you can't help but think that now that, you know, because it's so public and WWE being, you know, who they are, of course, now he's pretty much Teflon for at least the next 6 months until people forget. But I expect a big push for Mr. Young. What about you?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm expecting. I mean, I like the way he came out. It was so nonchalant. It was almost like, you guys don't already know, like, even Darren Young seems it's pretty obvious. And, yeah, he's probably going to get a push out of it. I almost wonder if, like, Vince McMahon was, like, all over the corporate email for nobody to talk any shit about it at all. Because, I mean, normally you get... You know, there are people that are supportive, but at the same time, usually there's people that aren't. I really think that company needs.
Yeah. I do respect the hell out of him for the way he came out. It took a lot of balls. It took a lot of balls to come out, you know, in the world of professional wrestling, at least from our standpoint, because a lot of wrestlers, the older generation, have actually commented on Darren Young coming out, and their opinion seems to be, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's been around for, you know, years, for decades in the professional wrestling, but it just wasn't something that was talked about as much. I mean, you have, famously, you know, Pat Patterson, openly gay, but I think that was after his career was over. The only other one that comes to mind would be Chris Kanyon, but he also came out after he had left WWE. And, of course, as everyone knows, he tragically ended up ending his own life because of the stigma. And I don't know. It's not in his head. So I can't really, you know, say why he did that. But it did take guts. But, yeah, and it, like I said, it could get him a big push. Millions of dollars. Yo.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's just start up on SummerSlam. I mean, he'll join in. Let's talk. We've got a lot to talk about tonight, so let's just get right into it. I missed a lot of the pre-show. I tried to get back in and watch the match, and I probably caught about half of the match, which was Rob Van Dam versus Dean Ambrose for the U.S. title. And it seemed like a pretty good match, and I wasn't the only one. I think you did as well, and a few other people in the group correctly predicted this was going to end by DQ in favor of Rob Van Dam, and that's pretty much exactly what happened.
But I think the thought process on that would have been, you know, a possible six-man tag that would have happened later in the show that did not happen. Guess it could still. So I actually missed that match. I was late getting home. I got home and got my... TV up and ready to go as soon as the Ring of Fire match was starting, and that's where we're going to go to right now, the first match on the show. They started with the Ring of Fire, the WWE PG version of the Inferno match. Of course, nobody was lit on fire. Nobody was expecting that. And if you were, you're fucking retarded. But yeah, it was a good match for, you know, what it was. It pretty much just the entire time was Luke Harper and Eric Rowan trying to make their way into the ring somehow, make their way past the flames, which they eventually did with the use of some carpeting to cover the flames. And, yeah. What did you think of the match?
I liked it a lot. I mean, there have been very, very few Inferno matches, and I don't feel the need for anybody to be lit on fire for me to be entertained. Just people hitting the mat and the flames coming up is cool enough. Definitely gives it a really cool look. I can only imagine how it was live. I mean, I'm sure that was amazing. I talked to John a little bit, and he said it was fucking awesome. So, I mean, I liked it. It was a pretty good match. Bray gets the win at the end, even with the interference. And I'd like to see him, you know, move on to his next feud here. Maybe Kane's still going to join him. I guess we're still the jury's still out on that one. But
well,
I'm still sticking by my prediction.
That's something that needs to actually be talked about there. After the match, post-match, Kane, once again, gets his head crushed with the steel steps, you know, the cut-out part of the steps, so of course there's no way it actually hit him. But afterwards, they dragged out Kane, the Wyatt family did. They brought him backstage with him. And so I'm starting to think that maybe your prediction was right, that he is going to end up joining up with the Wyatt family.
And if he does, I'm claiming victory over the next prediction contest.
All right, people. Our guest host has arrived. Say hi, John.
How are we doing tonight? How are you guys doing?
Good. How about you? Oh,
I'm doing well. Thanks
that,
for having
you?
Me.
Yeah,
I'm doing
so,
well. Thanks for having me.
All right, so we were just talking about the Ring of Fire match. You were there live. What was your impressions of it?
Well, you know, actually, I was very, very impressed with the whole actual setup of the whole entire thing. Going into it, I mean, you know, they had it set up early, like the Ring of Fire, like whatever you want to call it, like the mechanism that they were using to get the fire going. And the match itself was actually it was really good. And I was all the way up in a nosebleed seat, you know. And that being said, like, you know, I thought that it was actually one of the better matches of the evening. They actually had fire sound effects running through the PA system, like, which was pretty interesting. And I don't know how, but, you know, I thought it was one of the better matches of the evening.
Yes, definitely. And actually having a nosebleed seat for that match would probably have been the best seat in the house, because you're not, you know, being obstructed by the flames whenever they're shooting up. It's got to be a pretty cool
match. Yeah. And, you know, it was – I'm not sure how they – I mean, it seems like they got a little bit of a – like it's a better system that they used for this one than they did on the older Inferno matches, because the older Inferno matches seemed a little bit more primitive as far as that goes.
Yes, yes. Obviously, everybody loved this match. Pretty damn good work from both men. And moving on. Damian Sandow versus Cody Rhodes. Another match that I did not really get to see. I saw, you know, bits and pieces of it. I have children and they're assholes. but what was your impressions of it, John?
Actually, the Damian Sandow Cody Rhodes match it was really good. You know, I it was a little funny because right off the bat, I had an obstructed view of the screen from the lighting rig. It was a little funny because there was a little like so long mustache for Cody Rhodes chant that started right at the beginning of the match, because we didn't realize that Cody Rhodes had shaved his mustache off. But the match itself was actually really good. I thought that there was that those two have very good chemistry against each other. I mean, I thought they had great chemistry as a tag team, but I mean, being one on one like that was I thought it translated really well. And you know, I thought they put on a hell of a show.
Yes, yes. How about you, Brett? What did you think of that match?
I thought it was great too. I mean, there's not a whole lot more to say. Like he was saying, they have great chemistry. And the match was really top notch. I mean, the whole night just was great match after great match. And, you know, I really like Cody. I've been a fan of Cody for a while, so it's really nice to kind of see him get this push. They're still feuding, so we'll see if he comes out on top at the end, but at least he got a win at the second biggest show of the year.
Yes, yes. So next up, Alberto Del Rio defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Christian. They really played this up like, Christian was probably, possibly going to walk out with that title. And, of course, as everybody knows by now, he did not. But it doesn't seem that this feud is quite over. Oh, I guess it is. I guess it is because at Raw, they moved on. So I'm not exactly sure why they went with all this, hoopla.
And not only that, I mean, I was really under the impression that this was going to be Christian's last match. And, when the match ended and he immediately rolled out of the ring and went to the back, it was just like, immediately it was just like, okay, Christian's definitely not done. And then the other interesting part about that is just Alberto's face. I mean, after this whole fight with Drew McIntyre that we've been hearing about.
Go ahead. Let's actually touch on that briefly. The fight that happened on Saturday night at an Irish pub there in Los Angeles. Early reports was that Del Rio and
McIntyre. Yes.
I was blanking. Him and Drew McIntyre had actually gotten into a fight with each other, but it's actually come out that they fought off some other guys at the bar together.
To my understanding, I guess Del Rio got a little drunk and was basically running his mouth and started an altercation, and I guess Drew McIntyre was helping hold him back, but I guess, I guess there was a scuffle that they all got involved with, and I have not seen Drew McIntyre. Like, I guess they said that there was, like, you could see, like, physical, like, I guess Drew McIntyre's face is pretty banged up, too. But I have not seen his face since this story came out. But Alberto's face was messed up.
Jacked.
I mean,
Anyway.
But the match
was
great, though.
Yes.
I mean, especially going into that finish. I mean, they really had the crowd going when Christian was going to hit his finisher, and then Alberto immediately goes into his submission. I mean, it was fantastic. The crowd was very, very hot, like, during that match. That was really good. And then also Alberto, there's definitely a strong Latino contingent in Los Angeles, and he really had the crowd playing up for that.
Yeah, that didn't really translate on our side through the television, from what I could tell.
Yeah, he was getting over like crazy with that. I mean, like, you know, there was that. I mean, it was quite surprising. I mean, and then I was kind of thinking at that moment that there was a chance because Sandow had lost earlier. I was really thinking that there was a possibility that he might just run in and cash in right then. But that did not happen.
No, it did not. So after that, we moved to the Divas match. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I don't think we really even need to talk about this match. It was just a 2-minute Total Diva commercial.
Exactly.
So I say we skip. Are we all in agreement there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So next up, Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk.
Oh, yes.
A spectacle. I'm gonna let you take this because you were there in the building. What was your impressions on it, John?
Well, first of all, the WWE's production has always been phenomenal, and the video package going into that was just, I mean, it was so well done. It really got everyone in the audience like hyped up big time. I mean, and I don't know, I haven't watched it back like on TV yet, but I don't know how you guys felt about that, at least. But then as far as the match itself goes, Lesnar's pretty over, believe it or not. And, I mean, you know, there's definitely, I mean, you know, he's over in a different type of way than Punk is. I mean, like, it's always interesting to me how anytime Punk is on a pay-per-view, they will always, like, they'll always wait, like, an extra, like, 15, 20 seconds before they hit his music, which they, I really don't notice them doing that with anyone else, because it's just that slow build for the reaction that he gets as soon as that, as soon as his music hits. And, you know, but the match was great. I mean, like, there was, I mean, it's a lot of, it was a very technical match. And, I mean, I'd say it was one of Brock Lesnar's best efforts that I've ever seen. And I'm going all the way back to 2002 when he first came into WWE.
The match itself, it just, they beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, those high knees he was, that Punk was throwing to Lesnar was just unbelievable.
Yes. What about you, Brett? What did you think about it?
Yeah, so, I mean, at first, like, I mean, I'm a huge fan of both guys. I know a lot of people like to talk shit on Lesnar. I like to talk shit on Lesnar. But in reality, I mean, I am a fan. He is a draw, definitely, no questions asked. And I kind of felt like it started like a typical Lesnar match. Like, he was just kind of destroying Punk right out of the gate. And I was really hoping they weren't going kind of the way all of his other matches have gone, where it's essentially a reverse Cena match. He kicks ass 90% of the time and losing right at the end. And then about halfway through, it really shifted into a Punk match, and there was a lot more back and forth with Punk getting more offense in. And the submissions were great, going from the Kimura, which Brock had on Punk, which Punk countered into an armbar, which he then turned into the triangle choke, which Brock was doing the power bombs into. It was awesome. It really did turn into a Punk match, and I'd agree, it's probably the best Brock Lesnar match I've ever seen.
It was a beautiful sequence. That last part that you mentioned there, Brett. That sequence was just fantastic. I mean, and it really, really, the fans were on their feet, and I mean, it was loud. I mean, and I've been to several WWE shows. I mean, and that is easily one time that I've, like, I mean, that was one of the loudest times that I've ever been in the audience for a show like that. I mean, during a match, I mean, like, it was just like, as Michael Cole would say, it was high drama. I mean, and it really was. And I mean, you know, I'd say it was probably next to the main event, the best match of the night.
Yes, most definitely. of course, Lesnar was able to F5 Punk onto a chair and pick up the win on that one.
Right.
So next up, the mixed tag match. Dolph Ziggler and Caitlin versus Big E, Langston, and AJ Lee. I don't really like mixed tags. I don't know how you guys feel. This one
No, I'm the same way. And the match felt like a filler to me. Like felt like a match that could have been on Monday Night Raw, you know? It felt like just sort of a thing to fill in time until to get to the main event. I mean, just to be honest, I mean, I think it was a good quick match, but I mean, overall, I mean, I don't think it was one of those things you could say pay-per-view quality or SummerSlam quality for that matter.
Yes. And Brett, wasn't it you who, on Facebook in the thread, facebook.com/group/kayfabecorner actually had the comment of welcome back to the mid-card, Dolph?
Yeah, that's what I put on the prediction contest, as the name of the match was Let's Welcome Dolph Back to the Midcard.
Yes, and that's exactly what it seems has happened. All of Ziggler's momentum has stalled out. He's, you know, back to the midcard.
Dissipated.
Which is really unfortunate, because the guy's probably the best seller in the company right now, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely. No doubt about that. Yeah. Don't know what else to say about it. So we're going to move on. WWE Championship. John Cena versus Daniel Bryan with special guest referee Triple H. If you have not heard about what happened in this match, you are living under a fucking rock, or you're not a wrestling fan, because everybody knows about this. Big happenings coming out of this match. The match itself, great. One of the better John Cena matches, and go figure. You know, when John Cena is put up against, you know, someone like Daniel Bryan, someone like CM Punk, he is able actually to have great matches. They pull these great matches out of him. I'm not ready to give him total credit. But No, a great match. What was your opinions on it being there, John?
Oh, it was unbelievable, and it really almost had like a one night stand type feel. I mean, Daniel Bryan was so over, and John Cena was so just
not.
they did not want him to win that match, and watching that match, I mean, like it just was so good. I mean, it was just so back and forth, and there were so many things happening that were good in that match, and the ending itself was just like, and I'm talking about before the cash in, the ending made me feel the same way that kids would have felt like when Hulk Hogan won back in the day. You know, it was like the type of thing where it was like literally like a happy ending. It
yes.
was what everyone wanted to see, and then it was just like stab the knife in the back and twist it.
Yes,
is how I felt
yes.
at the end of it.
Yeah. So what he's referencing is at the end of the match, afterwards, after Bryan has he's celebrating, he's the confetti's coming down. We have a new WWE champion. Out comes Randy Orton with his trusty briefcase, his Money in the Bank briefcase. Triple H positions himself behind Bryan, drops him with a pedigree just in time for Orton to come in, cash in, and defeat Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship. Jesus Christ, ripped my heart out.
Oh, my God.
What did you think about this, Brett?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I was streaming the match, and almost the entire match, it was skipping around really bad. I was actually getting pretty pissed off. I mean, I caught most of it, and it was a great match. When he won at the end, man, I felt the same way you guys did. I mean, I'm sure we all had it in the back of our heads that Orton was going to cash in. I mean, they teased it the last couple weeks on Raw, so it's not like it was completely out of the blue. But, I mean, the celebration for him went on forever. Like you guys were saying, the confetti was coming down. I really liked the analogy John made. It had a one-night stand type feel almost back when, like, RVD won the title. I look at the clock, and it's 7:45, and they usually go off the air right between then and 7:50. The confetti's coming down for a while. I'm thinking, okay, it's not going to happen. I'm just about to close the laptop. And Orton's music hits. And I had a couple friends over who are not wrestling fans at all, and I'm freaking the fuck out. I'm doing the no chance. I'm just, like I said, knife in the back, total twisted. I mean, it's a great story, though. I mean, I can't say I'm upset because it's, like, something nobody wanted to see. Nobody wanted to see it, but it's really good TV. So I
can
live with it.
That's definitely something that I'm going to agree with you on, because for as much as it pissed us all off, I mean, well played, WWE. That's all I can say, is because, like, you know, we all, for as long as we've all been wrestling fans, we should have known better when there was no funny business happening by Triple H, when it was just a clean,
yeah.
clean ref job. I mean, we all should have known better. And, I mean, they got us. They got us, and well played. I mean, as much as I hate it, it was fantastic.
So what I was really actually hoping was Let me just finish up real quick. What I was really hoping was going to happen was that Triple H wouldn't turn, Orton would come out, cash in, and Bryan would actually win, beat Orton, Orton only being the second guy to fail to cash in and win the belt last year after John Cena, and Bryan would have been even more over. But I guess that's not quite as good of a story, but it's kind of what I was hoping was actually going to happen.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
right.
I mean, I'm just still like, I mean, I just remember the reactions, reading the reactions on Facebook when this was going down. I mean, like, it just, I was left speechless, honestly. I really had to just kind of comprehend it for a few minutes, and, you know, but after a few days, like, I mean, it's just like, This is kind of some of the best storyline work that I feel like has been happening in a long time. I mean, I really am going to be interested to see where they're going to go with this, and I really hope that Daniel Bryan's going to get his payoff in the end. I mean, I really hope that that's the direction they're going to go with this.
Yeah, if there's one thing that WWE and wrestling in general is all about, it's about getting emotion from fans, and they did their job on Sunday night. they got, and that, I mean, from the opening bell until the show went off the air, that entire match and everything that happened afterwards, just there was emotion. Like, you could cut it with a knife, to use an old stupid term.
Definitely.
Yes. But yes, so we need to move to Monday Night Raw now. Let's briefly cover it here. Show started off with Super Cena, John Cena, coming out and announcing that he's going to be leaving for a little while to go get that disgusting fucking elbow worked on. God, that thing's just fucking gross, dude.
I haven't actually seen it. I mean, is it really like bad? I mean,
it literally looks like a baseball. It literally looks like a baseball. Like,
so what is it, like a staph infection?
I'm not. They said it's something that's torn.
I know. Yeah, it's a torn muscle that's all like the fluids like leaking into and building up. I don't remember. Exactly which muscle it is. Obviously one of the arm ones, but I mean, yeah, it kind of looks like baseball, kind of looks like a football, even the way it sticks out. Like, he holds his elbow up, and if you think like some fucking mutant creature with like extra bone coming off of his bicep, I mean, that's what it looks like. It just sticks out weird.
Yeah, I don't know why this just popped into my head, but I mean, like, that just made me think of, do you guys remember, I mean, Jeremy, you'll probably remember this, Stone Cold Steve Austin had a very similar thing happen to him around the time of King of the Ring 1998 when he went into first blood match with King. And that just popped into my head, but that's basically the same thing that's going on, it seems like. But I don't think Austin took any time off, and that's the difference.
No, he did not. That was, his trademark at the time. You know, the guy did not take days off during that entire run until, you know, unless there was a neck injury. And even then, he was on television every week. So,
yeah. And that was some of the best TV he did, too.
Yes. Next up, after Cena announces that he is going to be taking some time off, 4 to 6 months, he's saying, so the rest of 2013 should be John Cena free. Yay. Yes.
How long has it been since that's happened? I mean, when was the last time we've had a Cena hiatus like that?
When he had his neck injury. Before he returned to the Royal Rumble. Yeah.
So he
then calls out Daniel Bryan, who, comes down to the ring looking morose as shit, like somebody just pissed in his Cheerios, as you would assume he would. He gets on the mic, talks about what happened last night. Then Stephanie McMahon comes out to apologize to him for what her husband did, but in the course of it all, she begins to tear him down like Vince McMahon himself had done in the past. Said that he's not an A but a solid B+. And then he had a funny comeback where he said that she reminds him of something that starts with a B. Right then, of course, a PG bitch joke. Crowd then chanted bitch. That was nice. Then she tries to talk again, and Dan O'Brien slaps the microphone right over her fucking hand. So that was great. But then Stephanie then actually has him kicked out at this point.
Okay.
So where do you guys think where this is going? We'll start with you, Brett.
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, I was almost hoping because, Orton, I guess, kind of turned heel. He was already kind of a tweener. Triple H turned heel. I was kind of hoping to see the Shield, not to skip ahead too much, but the Shield turn, since we're talking about where this is going and all, to fight the injustice of the corporation, because this is essentially like Corporation 2.0. I really hope this is leading to Bryan getting the title back, and this isn't going to be another thing like they did with Christian and like they just did with Ziggler. Where they kind of put the title on him, they have that little hot streak after that, and then they just push him back down the card. I'd hate to see that happen, but we've been burned before, so I'm keeping it in my mind as a possibility.
Yes, another name that you can throw into that list of people who were given the title and then having it taken off of them and they've moved on was actually Randy Orton himself, his first reign. He had the title for 10 months, and then they just moved him into other things after Triple H won the title back from him, But that was, you know, of course, during Triple H's Reign of Terror with the title, so there's that. So, yes, John, where do you think this is leading?
Well, it's kind of like what I touched on earlier. I really hope that eventually Daniel Bryan's going to get his payoff. I mean, I really, really hope that that's where they're going to go with this. I mean, the fact that they did what they did, I feel like gives Daniel Bryan more momentum as a babyface. And it just makes the fans want to see him get that title that much more. And whether or not that involves the Shield turning face or what have you, or I really want that to be the payoff at the end of all of this. I mean, who knows what twists and turns they're going to take. I mean, you know, I think that WWE has really been doing a good job of throwing us the fans, like the smart fans, off a little bit as of recently. So, you know, my honest opinion is that it's hard to say what's going to happen. I mean, and that's kind of the beauty of it. You know, I guess all I can say about it is that I just really hope that Daniel Bryan gets his title, you know. And it's been a long time since I felt that strongly about that type of thing. But, you know, I really, really want it for him, you know?
Yes, great writing by WWE on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to say that. Next up, we got a rematch from SummerSlam, Cody Rhodes versus Damian Sandow. Good match, not as good as their match the previous night. We're just going to go ahead and continue to skip ahead a little bit here because we're running low on time. After that, we had the Divas match. We don't need to talk about that. After that, Dolph Ziggler versus The Shield, 3-on-1 handicap match that was set up earlier in the night by Brad Maddox, because Ziggler had, I guess he had tweeted and mocked Triple H for what had happened the night before, so this was his punishment. Did you guys get to see this match?
No, was that still in the first hour?
I believe so.
Okay,
so, but,
I did not see that.
Right,
go ahead, Brett.
So, what did you
think? Yeah, I did. You know what? It was pretty freaking awesome. 3-on-1 tags tend to be, in my opinion, kind of lame. I don't even like the 2-on-1s very much unless there's a really good kind of gimmick or story to go along with it. And it was an awesome match. Ziggler looked great. He ate the loss at the end. I think it would have been a bit much to put Ziggler over the Shield in a 3-on-1 match. So I can't say, you know, I'm upset that he lost, but he would look really good losing, as he usually does.
Yes. After this, we got Alberto Del Rio versus Sin Cara in a 30-second match where it appears that Sin Cara actually dislocated some fingers diving out of the ring onto Del Rio.
You know, this is actually where – go ahead.
I was just going to say that the match was called off after that, but no, you can go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I just, you know, when I first saw that, I really thought that this is like a kayfabe thing, you know, like, which I still am not sure whether it is or isn't, but, I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, there's obviously a big thing on the internet about Sin Cara being well known for his botches, and I guess I kind of thought that might have been the writer's way of kind of playing into that a little bit, but if it's real, man, I feel bad for Sin Cara, because, I mean, he's just... I mean, he's doing it to himself. I mean, honestly, that's how I feel about it. I just feel bad for the guy. I mean, if that really happened to him, I mean, I don't wish injury on any wrestler, but I mean, like, with his case, with the way that he gets bashed on the internet for the way he botches, that's terrible.
Yeah. I'm suspect on whether or not it actually happened myself, only because of everything that happened after the match where Del Rio, you know, tosses him back in the ring and then continues to stomp on. Of course, the referee pulls him off after that. But you would think that if it was legit, they would have just gone over to the next part of what was supposed to happen here with Del Rio getting on the microphone. Ricardo comes out at this point and says that he has a he's going to represent someone new. And he then introduces Rob Van Dam. So it looks like RVD versus Del Rio for Night of Champions. And this is kind of what we were talking about before, where it appears that Christian is not getting his rematch. He's just going to be, you know, pushed down the card, or if, who knows? Who knows what they're doing with him? So, yeah, we'll just quickly move along here a little bit.
I gotta say really quick, I'm a little suspect that there might be a double cross that happens, because I mean I just really don't see the Ricardo RBD pairing being something that's gonna be long lasting. I mean I know that Del Rio, you know, beat the crap out of Ricardo, but I'm very suspect that there might be a double cross that happens there.
Yes.
I think that's definitely a possibility, because we talked about it a little the other night. I thought I read that RBD's contract says he can take a certain amount of time off after like 90 days or something like that.
Right.
He's been back in Money in the Bank. I don't remember exactly when that was, sometime in July. So about a month. So he's still got another, you know, month and a half or two left in him before that comes, if that still even happens.
Right.
But, I mean, that could definitely play into it.
Yes. So we're getting hard-pressed on time here. Moving along here a little bit, the Real Americans versus Primetime Players. This was the first match after Darren Young came out as being gay, and they're now suddenly babyfaces, for one. Two, they got a big win over, you know, I guess the Real Americans would have been positioned as the number three tag team right now, with the
right.
Usos being ahead of them. But yeah, got a big win over them, and I only assume that it's going to be Primetime Players versus The Shield at Night of Champions.
I just want to say Darren Young actually looked really good. I mean, obviously they kind of put the match on him, and, you know, for all of his coming out of the closet over the last week and whatever, but he looked good doing it, so I'm interested to see more.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement with both of you guys on that. I mean, you know, it's hard to say, but I don't know how I feel about him getting a push simply because he decided that he made a choice to come out of the closet. But I mean, you know, like, good for him. I mean, you know, he definitely has the talent. I mean, and we'll just see where it goes from here.
Yes. So after that, we move on to we have a backstage segment that I want to quickly talk about with a Ryback bullying a guy in the shower. This kind of left this up to your imaginations. I thought it was funny. I like this.
Yeah, you had mentioned it kind of was reminiscent of the Cole Heidenreich thing that happened a few years back.
Yes, Heidenreich. Yes.
Yeah.
But not nearly as terrifying. But no, like I was saying, I like this new bully character for Ryback. It fits him. So yeah,
it definitely does.
After
you won't see him
go
on any Be a Star campaign commercials.
No. If anything, well, they could actually make a whole storyline out of make that the commercial. You know, have somebody be, you know, the ultimate bully fighter to come and, you know, take him on. It's got to be something small, so, you know, a little bully can fight back. Probably, hey, Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio returns.
There you go.
You got your Be a Star fucking commercial right there in the form of a wrestling program.
Yep.
Okay, next up, another 3-on-1 handicap match with The Shield versus The Big Show. This one was largely forgettable. I don't even remember how it ended here. All I noticed at the end, it was the triple powerbomb on Big Show for the 3 count. It's whatever, just whatever. Moving along, we got CM Punk. We got our CM Punk appearance for the night as he comes out and has a war of the words, you could say, with Paul Heyman, asking, Paul Heyman, I guess, he apologized to CM Punk in a way, but it actually leads to CM Punk versus Curtis Axel in a brawl that was, it was decent for, you know, a brawl. Quickly, what did you guys think about it?
It was a nice little follow-up to the grueling match that Punk had with Lesnar the night before at SummerSlam. I think it's just kind of shows the next thing that they're going to go into for next month's pay-per-view. To be honest with you, I don't remember a whole lot of it either. So, that's pretty much all I got for that as of right now. I need to watch it back again.
Yes.
I just want to say, as a fat guy, I was very offended by Punk's promo against the fat guy last night.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
That was
well, actually,
funny.
And you just refreshed my memory a little bit. Punk got a little bit raw there with the language and everything too. I was pretty surprised by that. you know, he was definitely throwing some definitely non-PG words out there for sure.
Yes.
All right, let's move on. We got about 4 minutes and about four segments to go through. So
okay.
Yes. Next up, Bray Wyatt versus R-Truth. Quick match. Wyatt gets the win with his sister Abigail finisher. After that was the Usos versus 3MB. We do not need to discuss that. Miz versus Wade Barrett. I love Wade Barrett, but we do not need to discuss that.
I skipped it.
So, yes, we'll go right down to the final segment of the night. Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and Randy Orton in the ring coronation of Orton as the new WWE champion. This, I thought, was really, really good work. It helped to continue to build the story. Brett, what did you think about it?
I thought it was great. I love Triple H kind of being the bitchy little heel that he is. And so trying to kind of skirt the line, I'm still waiting for him to go full-blown Triple H heel like we all know he will. I mean, we're seeing Bryan get his beat down, but, you know, it's just going to be that much better when he comes back.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, I thought it was great when after the Shield had beaten up Daniel Bryan and he was getting back up to get into the ring and Triple H is there squatting down, like, just telling him, hey, you want to fight? You want to say your words? Like, you know, I mean, what a bitch, you know? Like, I mean, seriously, but it was great. I mean, that's like, the heel Triple H that we're all used to, and, like, I really would like to see that again, for sure.
I just want to say, you know, It's been a long time since we've had, like, heel Triple H. Like, it's been years now, so I'm glad to see it happen again.
Yeah.
Yes, vintage Triple H, if you will. another thing I wanted to point out about the whole thing was actually two things. One, the line that Triple H used, how he described Randy Orton as the coal that has become the diamond. And wrestling fans will remember that line from when Triple H actually booted Randy Orton from Evolution back in 2004. That was his words in the promo leading up to him giving him the big thumbs down and Batista dropping him. So I thought that was a nice little callback.
That was great. And, you know, a lot of people, I mean, myself included, I kind of made like a Cole reference. I mean, like Michael Cole, but I didn't actually catch that until you had mentioned it, but, yeah, that is actually a very good, nice little throwback there, and like I'm really interested to see where this is going to go because, I mean, I'm just waiting for Triple H to just come out and be the full blown heel that he was before.
All right, time for the song of the week. This week I let John, since he's our first ever guest host, choose what song we're going to play, and he chose the Beverly Brothers theme from the early '90s because he's a total Darren Young. All right, so that'll do it for the show. For John, for Brett, this is Jeremy Staples saying have a good week and jerk off.